Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. If you did not notice from this festive, jingle-jangly version of our theme song, it's December, and we're starting watching some Christmas movies, and we are starting with the classic Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. For some reason, I thought the name was Trapped in New York, even though I'm looking at it right here in front of my face. I might be thinking of a different movie.
Does this one have Tim Curry in it?
It does.
Yes.
Okay. I might appreciate it a little more because of him.
This movie, for me as a child, I loved this version of it. Because, like, we watched Home Alone when it was on TV or whatever. But for some reason, I loved this one so much more. And I think it was just because I loved New York and the idea of New York. And like the whole like romanticism of the city. And so this movie really was probably my favorite Christmas movie growing up.
New York.
Aaron, have you ever been lost in New York?
No. Yes. Yeah. This is really dumb. We were so dumb. Please, I was in college. Like, please don't hold this against me. But we were trying to find the 9/11 memorial. We couldn't find it. It's like a giant place.
Yeah.
We couldn't find it. Wow. It's a giant place. Because it's like the imprint of two buildings.
Right.
Couldn't find it. We gave up. We just went and looked at the Statue of Liberty because it's down in that same area. We just stared at it, you know.
I don't think that's in the same area.
It is. It's like in that downtown like end, like close to the water where the Statue of Liberty. I don't know.
Well,
listen, I've been to New York one time and it was 4 days, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm so sorry.
I've been there more recently. I think you pick up the ferry to go to Ellis
yes,
Island,
but you can see it from the shore
right.
of the downtown.
Have you ever been lost in New York, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I spent a whole summer working a couple years ago. And
That's right. Yeah.
Since this is being recorded, I won't go into any sort of detail, but yes, I've been lost in New York.
I will say that while we were down there giving up looking at the Statue of Liberty across the water, we sat on a bench and a giant rat ran across my lap. So,
and then we got married.
No. But I feel like that's a very New York thing.
One time when I was in New York, I accidentally got on the... Because, you know, like I was visiting New York from Korea. And in Korea, in almost every single subway station, you can go down and then like get the direction you want to go. But in New York, almost every single subway station, you have to go down the correct side to get in the way you want to go. Right. And so like I went down the wrong side and I ended up taking the train like pretty far away from my destination before I realized that I was like, this is not the right way, is it? Like, I'm supposed to be going down in numbers instead of up or whatever it was. And I got out and I walked out of the station and I was like trying to get my bearings. I'm going to see where like the other direction was so I could get on going the other way. And I ran into a guy that I had worked with in summer theater, like when I was like between high school and college. So like this, that would have been like 10, 15 years before. And like, we were just like, wait, Anthony, Jay, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, this is so weird. Like just completely just random coincidence. And we like hung out and chatted for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to find the right way to get back. So I've also been lost. We've all been lost in New York.
Yes, at various
times. I think
times.
Mine was the stupidest, but that's fine.
I agree. I remember, I mean, I think this is one of those movies that was massive, you know, that everyone kind of saw, like an Independence Day. I mean, this thing made $300 and some odd million, right? Like, this was huge. I remember really enjoying the original Nintendo game of this. It was very, very fun to play. I don't know. This was just, it was really a part of my childhood growing up. I'm interested to see if it holds up because I haven't seen it in quite a while. So,
yeah, I had the I was telling Richard and Aaron before we started recording, but the little talk back where like he would speak into it and then it would play his voice back like slower or faster or whatever. I love this movie so much that I convinced my parents to get me one for Christmas, and I think I used it like for a week. As those things usually go in your childhood.
Right. Right.
Perfect.
We were discussing before we started recording. It looks like everyone came back for this. Like the same director.
Wasn't the mom different?
No, Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, she's in this. That's Joe right. Pesci. Who was the other wet bandit?
I don't know.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern.
From Rookie of the Year fame.
That's right. Yes.
Kieran Culkin also comes back.
Wow.
As his cousin or whatever.
There are too many of them.
Too many Culkins?
Yeah, and too many Baldwins and too many Wahlbergs.
Wow.
Bold too statements. Many of them. I just need the one, that the good one. You know?
Wait, I kind of want to pursue this for a moment. What do you mean? Like
there's so many of them, and like one is a good one in all those families. Like one is like really famous and good at their job, and then the rest of them are just kind of like tertiarily getting roles because their sibling is famous and knows people.
I think at this point, Kieran Culkin is working way more than Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, he surpassed him, but like, so like the one has shifted.
So then Macaulay needs to disappear now. Like he's passed
the torch.
I mean,
he can
torch.
Go live a quiet life.
I mean, he
life.
Kind of has, so.
Except for he was in a commercial. A Home Alone commercial. Where Alexa was his thing. He kept ordering stuff from.
Yeah.
I know in the previous episode we talked about Johnny Depp being insanely famous. Macaulay Culkin is another one that for a period there was maybe one of the most famous actors alive as a child too, so had to be rough. Had to be rough.
Spent a lot of time with MJ too.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't think we should go down that avenue.
Nope, I'm
different podcast.
Can't do it right now.
Your loss. There's a. I forgot that Rob Schneider's in this movie.
Oh my god. Oh, is he the bell
Schneider?
Boy?
Yeah. Oh,
that he keeps like not tipping.
Mm-hmm.
He gives him like gum or something. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot, so many people in this movie.
I didn't mention this during the Home Alone, I don't think, but the father in this movie, John Hurd. He played a character in The Sopranos, which I'm rewatching right now. Fantastic actor, at least in those two things. Really good stuff.
All right.
Chris Columbus has a cameo in this as Man in Toy Store. So keep an eye out when they get to the toy store. Oh, that was another thing. They have that huge toy store in this one.
It's gone.
Yeah, but it was like so, like, I know that it was based on a real toy store, but it's also, I feel like, so romanticized in this movie that it just makes you feel like.
I'll let you know, because I went in that big real toy store, FAO Schwartz, the one in like, the one that's, I don't know where the heck it was, because I didn't know where I was going. But it was
you were lost in New York.
Yeah, it was the big one. We found that.
Did the rat show you the way?
No. No. But, I mean, there were stuffed animal rats. They had a stuffed animal of, like, every living thing in this world. But it's gone now. They took it away. It's gone.
Also, because he's not, like, in a house, if I remember correctly, because I have not seen this movie in years and years and years, but if I remember correctly, because he's not in a house, he has to, like, make all his pranks in an alley. Maybe
no, he checks into like a 5-star hotel because he gets like an emergency credit.
No,
card.
I know that, but like later on, like because the Wet Bandits are in New York, somehow they escaped jail, and they see him and they're like, "We gotta get our revenge on this dude," and so he's like, or maybe he's like trying to stop them from robbing the toy store or something.
I thought there was a lady with pigeons.
Yeah, there's definitely a pigeon lady.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember where that was at. It was like a townhouse or something. I don't remember exactly.
I have no idea.
Well,
I don't remember.
We'll
much.
Just have to find out. Anything else you guys are remembering or excited about with this one?
No.
The last thing I want to say about John Hurd, that actor, he passed away in 2017. So R.I.P. that guy. Yeah, pretty sad.
Shout out John Hurd.
I do want to apologize to New York. I love you. I'm just not good at
directions.
Being there in your city.
No, you're just not good at directions at all. Because we went on a trip literally like 5 times in one day. Aaron was like, "Are you sure this is the right way? I think we're going the wrong way." And every single time it was right.
Whatever. But I do enjoy New York very much. It's a nice place.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those places that, you know, after a summer going down there every weekend where I was actually staying, I mean, you can never... There's so much to do, right? Like,
yeah.
You could just keep on doing things for... It makes me reminisce about Seoul. Like,
yeah.
Living in Seoul, how there's just something going on every night there.
Yeah.
I think I did everything in Seoul.
No. In the winter, I feel like it kind of, in Seoul, it kind of narrows your options because it's so cold. But
right. But then there's all the Christmas stuff that's been so romanticized in movies our entire lives. And you're like,
in Seoul or in New York?
No, in New York.
Oh, I'm talking about Seoul.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
In the winter in Seoul, it's just like so cold. Like, what are you going to
do? My second winter there. I think I've told you this, Richard. -24 Celsius.
Ouch.
Whew. Yeah, my first winter, there was a week where the high was 8 degrees of the whole week. The warmest it got was 8.
Yeah, 24 is a lot. -24 is a lot colder than that.
I mean, it would get down to -24 like at night.
Well, all right. We're going to go watch Home Alone 2. Lost in New York. I'm super excited. I hope I'm not super disappointed at the end of this. And we'll talk to y'all in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Jay here coming at you as normal in the middle of the show. Listen, I mentioned this later on in the episode, kind of at the end when we're wrapping up, but wanted to mention it here as well. We just found a bunch of buttons that we had made a while ago. They're the VCR Kids buttons. If you're familiar with the couch design, which has the three of us sitting on a couch watching a movie with Aaron being fast asleep, there are buttons of that. And I believe they're 2.5 inches wide, round buttons. And we've got a lot of them that we never ended up using the way that we intended to. So if you want one, I will send it to you for free, just to kind of spread a little bit of the Christmas spirit. You know, if you are interested, you can always tweet at us at the VCR Kids, or you can also email me at thevcrkids@gmail.com. Seriously, we'd love to send you one of these. We've got like 50 of them that are just kind of sitting in a bag here. It's a little bit less than 50 because I know I have one on my bag and I know I've given a couple out, but We have quite a few. They will be first come, first serve. So if you want a free VCR Kids button, or if you want to give some to some friends that you think would like the show or do like the show, please let me know. Seriously, they're sitting here doing nothing. Love to send them out. So tweet at us, email me, whatever you're into. And yeah, I'll even, I mean, I honestly, I've never shipped a button before, so I don't know. But if it's more than like, I don't know, $2, maybe I'll say like, hey, pay shipping and handling, please. But, you know, I'll probably just pay it anyway. So, yeah, just let me know. Love to get these out to you guys if you are interested. And yeah, that's about it. I hope everyone stayed super safe for Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great time with your family or friends, hopefully remote. I mean, I'm not here to shove my views on anyone else, unlike apparently our Apple Podcast reviews say. But, you know, I think there have been a lot of people from a lot of different sides of stuff saying, please stay home during the holidays. So please hope you're listening. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're protecting yourself and everyone around you. And that continues through this entire month as we're all getting that urge to get together with family and friends. Just please stay conscious, stay safe, and keep on listening. We've got a bunch more Christmas movies coming up this month. So hope you're in the mood for getting a little holiday cheer going on. And yeah, I'm going to let you get back to the rest of the episode. Talk to you later. Tweet at me or email me if you want a VCR Kids button. And enjoy the rest of the show. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. We are finished watching Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. I know that we all have a lot of thoughts about it because we were all texting each other about it. Around, I guess, Richard, you were watching it this morning, I guess.
Yeah, I watched part of it this morning and then part of it after work. So,
gotcha. Any kind of like overarching thoughts you guys have before we get started in like a little bit of a plot recap?
So it does like make you feel Christmassy, right? And I've like the one time I visited New York, it was Christmas time, like 4 days before Christmas, and I loved it. 100% love it. I love New York Christmas time. I love the big Christmas tree. I love all the lights. I love all the people shopping. I love the window displays. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So this movie brought those feelings back, as does Elf when I watch Elf. Love that. But the thing is, this movie was like 50% setup and then 50% throwback to like what it had already done. Like literally they would say like again, like they said that quite a few times. And
I have a feeling we're going to be referencing the original one a lot when we talk about a lot of these like plot points and themes of this movie.
And I feel like that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that was when I was watching it, part of it with Renee, I was like, oh, well, that was from the first one. Oh, that was from the first. Like, it's just the greatest hits of Home Alone. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no way you could like watch this without having seen the first one, because they just reference it so many times. But I guess also like the first one was so huge and this one came out like a year later that it's fine. Like they could just expect that everyone in the world saw it because it did so well.
Yeah. Like literally this movie's so long. Also, it's like 2.5 hours. It's a very long.
2 hours.
It's a very long movie. And like the first 45 minutes to an hour is them like setting up every single detail that makes the fact that they did this twice plausible at all. Like it took a long time to get to the point where he was in New York by himself and they didn't realize it.
I was about to say, to get to the point where he just injures these two grown men for the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Oh, man. He was a lot.
We'll get to all that. We'll get to that because I have quite a few things to say about the prank scenes. Basically, this movie starts in the same house. We don't spend as much time in the house in the beginning, I think, as in the first movie. Because it's kind of already, they don't spend a lot of time establishing all the characters. They kind of just assume that you know everyone, know the whole family dynamics.
They're all going on another group vacation.
To Florida this time, to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin's got one of those, he's got like a tape recorder that can like play things back at different speeds.
And they rely on that thing heavily. I feel like he only used it like once or twice in the original one. Like
he didn't have one in the original one.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, he
was playing a VCR tape back.
Oh, he uses that thing for everything. And there's no explanation as to like why he likes it so much. Like,
because it's great.
I guess.
They marketed that like as a Christmas present. And I wanted it so bad as a child.
Yeah, he uses it, and that's like how he accomplishes 75% of the things that he does.
I mean, that was like hot technology in early 90s.
Yeah.
Kids didn't have cell phones and stuff. That was great.
It had a microphone that stuck out of the tape recorder, almost kind of reminded me a little bit of a breathalyzer.
Yeah. It does look like that.
Yeah.
And then before they leave for Miami, well, Kevin's already sore about going to Miami because he's like, it's not very Christmassy there. It's hot and blah, blah, blah. Because he's from Chicago and it gets, you know, cold there.
And he's a brat.
Yeah, he is. He's honestly kind of a brat in this movie. I will not say it's completely unfounded, but like in the first movie, I just kind of felt bad for him. This time I was like, you're a little talkbacky. And
he was a brat in the first one. In the beginning.
But like he had genuinely been wronged.
Yeah, his overreaction at the recital or whatever that was called was a little much. Because it's like, all right, yeah, Buzz was like a jerk and did a weird candle thing. What was he doing? Just like putting candles behind
lighting
his ears.
Lighting up his ears to make them look
really
big. Oh my
God, and the audience thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no one would think it's that funny. I mean, it is mean, like, honestly, for him to do that during the solo.
I mean, it was like a kid's choir of, like, I don't know, like their school or their church or something with a packed house of like hundreds of people just like raucously laughing at this. Next to the ears.
I could see that if it was like a private school. I can definitely see it for like a private school. But like, here's the thing. Buzz definitely should have gotten the most in trouble because he looks like he's like almost an adult in this movie. He looks like a 15 or a 16 year old, like capable of far more critical thinking than 7 year old Kevin. So like Buzz being that dumb is like.
Yeah. But back to Jay's point, he was killing it. They loved that.
I guess so.
Like it stole the show.
It's like everyone of the 1,000 people except for his parents were cracking up.
And they also had like a fake voice for Macaulay Culkin. Like that was not him singing, was it? No way.
Of course not, Aaron. It's a movie.
And then Kevin pushed him and everybody fell down. And he refused to apologize. Like they both should apologize. Definitely. But like Buzz was laying it on so thick. I really like don't know how his parents didn't see, like, to be honest. Like, how do you not know that kid's faking it and being stupid?
Well, I think his parents are famously unaware of things.
Of most things. Like of unplugging the clock.
Yeah, honestly, they need to like see a head doctor maybe and address some of those blind spots.
Yeah, the dad unplugged their alarm clock to get a charger or something, like a converter or something. Because it was on a power strip with like 3 other things plugged into it. So he just unplugged the whole power strip, took the thing he wanted, plugged it all back in, and it reset the clock. And apparently, I think, Richard, you made this point as well. There's like how many people in this house and they're relying on one digital alarm clock?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
14 people.
And then they woke up, and this was like the first time I was like, ugh. Well, Kevin was like, it's the same as last year. And she's like, maybe you'll get your wish again. I was like, he's definitely getting his wish again. Like, you know what I mean?
That's not true. The first time you went, was the shower scene.
Yeah, well, that's like a whole different thing. But then they wake up and they were like, we did it again. And I was like, like, I really was just, anytime they added again to something, it just like really bothered me.
And that shot was slightly sped up too. Like, it was, it made me cringe a little bit watching that.
Right.
Well, it wasn't as sped up as the first one when they were all running around.
Yeah. And then this time Kevin gets in the van with them and they make it to the airport and everyone's got all their things, like all their tickets. But like they have to set up like five things that go on that like make this happen. Like his little voice recorder thing, he has to stop and change the batteries in the middle of the street of the airport. So there's the first thing. Then they like have to pre-show a man that's wearing the same outfit and has the same hair as his dad. So, and they go in opposite directions. So Kevin, when Kevin is trying to catch back up, he follows the wrong person.
You're acting like this is like such a crazy thing. Like when I was a kid, several times I would like follow the wrong person in the grocery store, or like we went to some event at Erickson Stadium, back in the day, and I like had stopped to look at something in the hallway and I turned around and like just followed another person the complete wrong direction that I thought was my parents. Like that totally happens to kids.
I don't know what you were doing your entire life, but that happened to me a grand total of one time. I got lost one time.
Well, so did Kevin.
I was very aware that I was lost and I wasn't following anyone. I found a police. And I actually was a security guard. And I was like, I don't know where my parents are. And they were like, oh, okay, well, good job coming here. But they didn't even know I was gone for like a full hour. So I was just hanging out at the security guard place for a full hour.
Yeah, it probably runs in the family because my parents left me at a Blockbuster when I was a child and didn't even realize it until they got home.
Yikes, let's hope not. I would lose my mind if I realized my child was like suddenly missed. Anyway.
Well, let's just say if they could get to the airport on time, like most people, and you're just kind of sitting there and you're like, okay. Especially yeah. The second time, it's like, all right, let's make sure we don't forget that kid since we got here.
Oh, God, especially in a pre-9/11 airport where they're all just like, everyone just get your tickets. We'll just yeah. run right up to the gate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, your dad's on this plane? Come on in, kid.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, and like he had to bump into the ticket taker lady and he was like, oh, my boarding pass is mixed up. So she just like let him on. Like there was so like it had to set up like every single thing.
Oh, and then he put his headphones on while the woman was like, we're going to be going to New York City.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Because the guy was talking to him in French.
Right. And like, his next door neighbor.
Screw these French people.
Yeah. He was like, have you ever been to Miami? And then and by the way, I took French in high school. I took it for 4 years. I can't remember everything to like speak it, but I can like listen to it and kind of get the gist of what they're saying.
We all took languages also here.
Okay, but I can still like kind of understand what they're saying. He was saying nonsense, like just totally unrelated sentences about nonsense.
Yeah, I definitely heard him say Grey Poupon.
Yeah, and he was saying like, do you like to fly on the plane? How about eating some food? I like restaurants. It's like, what the heck? So they just gave him some crap dialogue. But like he sat next to someone wearing French. He put his headphones on at the exact wrong time. His family, they couldn't get seats together on the plane. They had to like say that. So that's why he like knew he wasn't going to sit next to any of them.
Well, also when he got on, the flight attendant was just like, go find an empty seat.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. But like his family already said, like that's how they knew like he wasn't there, because they all had to sit all over the plane, like in all the different, like no one was together.
Mm-hmm.
Though from the looks of it, it looks like his parents booked first class tickets by themselves and let everyone else ref it. Which is what they did in the
first one also. Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? Don't learn from your mistakes, I guess.
I like those parents. That's how I want to live my life.
And I will also say that in the first movie, the mom was freaking out and trying her best to get back to Kevin. Then we had that great, like, John Candy interaction. This time they were kind of like, eh, you don't get to do that. You just get to wait in the Miami hotel. So there was no, like...
What are you talking about? They went to New York.
Yeah, but they had to wait. They had to wait. Like, the whole movie, she was trying to get back to Kevin. This movie, they were like, we don't know where he is. He's not in the other airport, so... Now you have to wait for him to use his credit card. We don't know where he is. And it took them so long to run that credit card. It took them like 3 days to run the credit card. Like, I don't. Well,
of course they wouldn't go right back to Chicago because they didn't know. They knew he went to the airport.
Like, you would think, though, like, someone needs to be at the house. Right, Richard?
I mean, I think they. Here's the problem, Aaron. You're talking about how implausible this is. I mean. But I don't it's, know.
Again, set up implausibility with 14 people who don't have alarm clocks.
Like, the reason, yeah, like, the whole thing, like, that's why I'm nitpicking it, is because they literally spent half the movie explaining how it's plausible again.
But, and like, Aaron, you don't have to nitpick it because it's, like, a goofy movie.
But they thought about it so hard. Like, later, you can tell.
Aaron, later on in this movie, one of the bandits is being shocked and literally turns into a skeleton.
I know.
I don't think that happened. I don't think that's a thing.
But, like, what I'm saying is, like, obviously it's not realistic, but, like, they put so much effort into planning this. They put so much effort into, like, trying to.
What are you talking about?
The writers set up. John Hughes
wrote a script where he was just like, oh, he followed the wrong guy. All right.
But they had to, like, go back and be like, well, how would they know they weren't on the plane together? They're sitting in different seats. Like, how did the boarding pass lady not figure it out? They bumped in. Like,
it does have a purpose, though. They had to show that Miami was a bummer so that when they're like, hey, we're going to New York, everyone's like, yes, thank God, we're going to this cold place. That was the whole point of it.
That, like, that was the part that, like, took me out of the movie a little bit. When they, like, drove by that motel, I was like, what the heck is happening?
I hated all of the Miami hotel stuff. I 100% hated it.
A lot different than our honeymoon or whatever.
Yeah, they like flew down there in the middle of a hurricane, which you'd like know in advance it was coming. That's the only reason it would rain that many days in a row.
No, it's Florida. It rains every day.
Yeah, but like not all day every day.
Anyway, can we move on, please? Can we stop talking about how unrealistic that the situation is?
Once he's actually in New York, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, so he finally gets to New York. He goes to the Plaza Hotel because he saw a commercial for it. And he runs into Tim Curry and Rob Schneider. And the lady was super familiar, but I could not figure out what I knew her from.
Oh, yeah, she's been in a lot, I think.
Oh, I meant to look that up before starting to record, because she is familiar. I think she's in something we've seen before on the podcast, but
yeah. And Donald Trump for like literally two seconds.
And Jay was texting and he missed it, and I had to scream, there he is, you're missing it.
It was not worth it. And yeah, it was, I kind of, this section where it's like, where he's doing his like New York thing in the Plaza, he's like being kind of sneaky and like figuring out how to get a room and like getting all the room service and doing all the fun stuff and going to the toy store and all that. Like, I think that's definitely the most fun part of the movie. And it's the most kind of like holiday vibes and like the most kind of reminiscent of the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Just as far as like the feeling of it and the,
yeah, and it wasn't the same. Like, that's the thing. Like, it was different, and, like, it still felt, that was the most different part, and it felt most like the original movie.
And right. Tim Curry was great, and Rob Schneider. This is probably the only role I've ever liked Rob Schneider in.
Yeah, he was good in it.
So that woman who was, whatever, the clerk that worked at the hotel.
Lady or
She was in the Addams Family. She's the one that hooked up with
Cousin It.
With Fester.
Cousin
It.
Not was it? Fester. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Excuse Not Fester. Me. God. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the dream moment, right? As a young boy, and you get just room service, and you're eating. Some guy's making you just these massive ice cream things. I will say this. The movie that he was watching, Renee asked if that was a real movie. That I don't think so, right?
Oh, no. Certainly not.
Because, like...
What was it? Like, angels and...
He was all jealous or something. Like, the woman was, like, sleeping around, so then he murders her.
Yeah.
With a Tommy gun. Anyways.
What was the... And the title of it was... Because he watched, like, a version of it. And the, see, this is the other annoying thing. He watched, like, the same version of that. He watched, like, the same guy in the original movie. He watched that.
He watched a movie in the original, and he watched a sequel to the movie in the sequel movie.
Yeah, it's so...
It's not that hard to understand.
It's so annoying! And the title was ridiculous. It was, like, even worse... Whatever... even worse than before time now, like, is dumb. I can't remember it exactly.
Yeah, that's not that at all.
No, but it like gave me that impression, and it was like that vibe of dumbness.
Oh man, now I need to look it up.
But at the same time, the sticky bandits now are in New York. Nice little coincidence.
Yes, and Daniel Stern is a lot more Rookie of the Year in this movie and a lot less Home Alone 1.
Yeah, he was way goofier, but I still liked... who's is it Pesci?
Joe Pesci.
Yeah, he's the other guy. I think he was the same, but this time they kind of made him more like, just reacting to the other guy, and the other guy wasn't the stronger... He like wasn't strong.
He was... Know? Joe Pesci was basically like Donald Duck in the last half of this movie when he was mumbling to himself.
Yeah, I just wish that they let Joe Pesci be the star, but I think they let the other guy do it because they wanted it to be more goofy or something.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they slam, bam, whammed the crap out of... They would have died like 100 times over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way more violent.
Another trope that they steal, not a trope, but another plot line that they steal from the first movie is that he gets scared by an old person he doesn't understand. This time it's a homeless lady who's obsessed with birds. And then he comes around and becomes her friend, and they help each other exactly like the first movie. Except, I don't know, this... Their relationship just seemed kind of weird to me, like,
because like it was shoehorned in.
Yeah, he just kept being like, "Well, you know, I like comparing her homelessness to toys that he's had or something." Like, yeah. She's like, "I'm not sure it's exactly the same as that," and he's like, "No, it is."
there was a scene where he's like in the park, and then like this bird's there, and she kind of rises up. And the bird's on her head. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the pigeon lady, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was my least favorite part of this movie. Because then it went off on like a subplot. They were up in like the balcony of something. Like, it was silly. Although she's...
And in the end, like, he gives her there's this huge, like, heartwarming moment where he gives her a turtle dove ornament, which she can't hang on any Christmas tree because she's freaking homeless. Right. And he's like, oh, it's all good now because I'll never forget you. I'm going to Chicago to my huge house and my private school. And we just got a ton of free toys.
Right.
You keep hanging out with your birds. Here's an ornament.
Yeah. It's like we could have done a little more considering she like literally saved his life.
Yeah. She was also in Angels in the Outfield. She was the older lady.
Orphanage?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I will say I thought she did a really good job as an actress. Like, she did a really good acting job.
Well, that's like, good because that was her job.
Yeah, but she did really well playing off Macaulay Culkin because honestly, like, I don't know if it was the lines that they gave him or, like, he had just had enough. But he just didn't... I don't think that was, like, the best scene for him when he was talking to her.
The actress's name is Brenda Fricker. She's actually the first Irish actress to win an Academy Award.
So she was very good.
Angels in the Outfield?
Absolutely. No. My Left Foot. So there you go. Yeah.
I was right. She's very good.
That was another point that I wanted to make is we've seen young Macaulay Culkin in a few other movies now. And Christopher Columbus really knows how to direct him in a way that like no one else did. Like, because he was not a good actor. Like, he was just a cute kid. And like, I think that's what you expect from child actors. But then we've also seen people like Haley Joel Osment, who like was legitimately a great actor as a child, and like Abigail Breslin.
What's that sweet baby's name? Oh, he was in Room.
Sweet baby.
I love him.
You love Jonathan Tremblay.
Yes. Oh, I love him. Or is it Jacob?
It's something Tremblay.
Yeah, he is so. I love him. I want him in my class. I want to just like. Oh, he's so good.
Great and Good Boys.
Yeah.
I now know why he doesn't go by Christopher Columbus. He goes by Chris Columbus, because when you said that, I was. Kind of just throws you off the beaten path there for a second. Anyways.
In 1492.
Sorry. Chris Columbus directed Harry Potter.
There's a podcast I listen to, and the guy's name is Jon Favreau, and I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Not that Jon Favreau, the other Jon Favreau.
There's but Chris Columbus is great at directing kids, and we've seen this in the first two Harry Potters. We've seen this in Mrs. Doubtfire, and like in the Home Alone movies. And we've also seen Macaulay Culkin work with other directors who were apparently not as good at finding those best shots from terrible kid actors. So I think he's still cute in this. I don't think he's any different. Like, I don't think he did a better or worse job than the first movie. I think it's just like, it is what it is. Like, it's Macaulay Culkin winking at the camera the whole time.
Now that you say that, I'm thinking about like Daniel Radcliffe and Macaulay Culkin, like in the way that he directs them to do these like facial expressions and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so similar.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were both terrible child actors.
Daniel Radcliffe wasn't great. He got great, but that's because he was like working with Britain's best like Shakespearean actors on the set of Harry Potter. And he said like he worked for it. Like, he asked them for help and they helped him. But
So Tim Curry plays basically the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and is like this man child that's trying to like get this underage person in trouble. Finds out the card is stolen, and then the family goes up. I'm trying to remember what the sequence of events is, because then he befriends the toy store old dude.
He donates money.
Gets on his good graces, and they share the or he gives the doves, whatever. Then they decide at that same time, the bandits, that they're going to steal from this store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's weird, I don't know if y'all noticed this, they have their first conversation while the store is open inside the houses.
Yeah. Yep.
Couldn't they have just walked around and been talking about it? Why did they have to go inside the houses to have that? Because they could have just, like, someone could have walked by him and like, what are y'all doing in that house? Like, yeah, I don't know. Right. It was pretty sketch.
You were not passable as toys when you're freezing. Like, you're like grody, just escaped from prison, like nasty dudes.
This is the other thing. I honestly think, like, if you just escape from prison, going to like New York City is the worst idea. Like, the absolute worst. Like, I just feel like someone would catch you there. Like, you need to go to some random kind of medium-sized city. Just a random place.
It's a lot different then than it was now, when there's like cameras on every single door and stuff. Like, and everyone, and there's a lot more credit card use. Like, they still had the credit card press machine that they used in this movie.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I've never seen that.
Like, we have one of those at work for when the power goes down or something, or like if the system stops working, they break out that and there's like that ka-chunk.
Yeah, I just had to handwrite it.
So they decide they're going to steal, and then he befriends Pigeon Lady, and they're up in the balcony, and he's like, she's like, you got to do something good. Like a good deed on Christmas is apparently like really good. So yeah, he works
double or triple or something.
Which is not the attitude you want to have. You don't want to have an idea of getting something back from your good deed that you do.
Then but he does. And it's great because they're rich. So he's like, I'm going to go thwart this, you know, robbery that's going to take place. And then what does he do? It's like, we didn't even mention this. His family, apparently his uncle has like a townhouse that's being renovated.
They're gone. They're just Amscrade.
Yeah.
Well, it's clearly not in a livable condition.
Yeah, it looks like the worst place in all of Brooklyn. Is it Brooklyn where he lives?
I don't know. I was trying to track kind of where he was going. I don't know. You have to suspend your belief of time, I think, in this, because he just pops around way too quickly in this movie.
Yeah. Like, even if you're going... She just, like, popped me in the ear. No, she didn't. She, like, whacked the headphones in the ear. She, like, did a giant nose touch to the ear of the headphones. She was like, listen... Yeah, I feel like that brownstone was in Brooklyn, or they're so loaded that they would have like a nice brownstone like that in Manhattan.
Not that way in like 96, Aaron.
I don't know.
You're thinking like post 2012, 13.
Like. But it's like decrepit. Please.
Yeah, so he decks it out in like all the booby traps, right? All the new ones. And I think this is what I was most excited about for this movie as a kid. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what's the new ways that he's going to get them?
Well, this is where I felt like, so the first act of the movie when they're leaving him and like repeating all this stuff again was like so much like the original. Then there was the whole New York sequence, which was very different. Like the whole Plaza Hotel sequence, like, similar beats, but like unique enough that it was like, oh, this is fun to watch. I really felt like this part, like the montage of him setting everything up was almost non-existent compared to the first one, which was like one of my favorite parts as a kid and like one of the most fun parts. You're like, oh, look how he's taking all these like everyday things or like household items and like booby trapping everything. And this one is so violent, like, oh, so yeah, much more violent than the first movie. Like the first movie had some violent points, but this one, like, those guys, especially Daniel Stern, should have died 15 times.
Oh yeah. The scene where at the beginning where Kevin is just throwing bricks at him,
just chucking bricks
onto his head, I'm like, there's no creativity with this. He's just throwing a brick.
He would have ripped his skull open with those bricks. That would have hurt, if not like cracked a hole in his skull.
Oh my god, the most ridiculous one actually was the very first, where they're coming out of the toy store and he created that little seesaw. Which, wow. And so the Daniel Stern gets on it, and then Joe Pesci gets on first, and Daniel Stern comes out and he flies, I don't know, 20 feet in the air and crashes through a car, like the
like, here's what? The other thing, he could have left in a not, like, he could have called the cops and been like, they're gonna rob a toy store.
Oh, I right? mean, he could have done that at any point in this movie, really.
Yeah, but like, so in the first movie he tries, you know, like he tries and they don't come, they don't believe him. Like, they won't show up to the house, or they show up and they leave.
Well, maybe he's learned to not trust police officers then.
Right.
I don't know. But, like, he didn't even bother. And, like, it was just kind of, I don't know, like, Why? Like, he just, it's like, you're just doing this for fun now. Like, you just want to destroy them.
There wouldn't have been a movie if he had called the cops in the
movie. I know. It's just like, it bugs me because, like, in the first movie, they, like, took care to set up, like, how he would end up doing this by himself. And that felt important. Like, he tried all these things to, like, evade these guys. And then, like, it's literally the last, like, 30 to 35 minutes of the movie where he sets off all the traps. That makes sense. But, like, the buildup to that, like, made a lot of sense. Like, it felt like in this movie, they spent 45 minutes doing a buildup of, like, how this even happened again. And a lot of it just was, like, too much. Like, I don't know. And then they spent 0% time, like, on why he's torturing these people again. Like, he doesn't try to, like, do any, like, he just goes
because
from, like,
they
0
keep
to 60.
Telling him. They keep telling him over and over and over again that they're going to kill him. They're going to murder him. They're going to take him apart piece by piece.
He knows that's crap because he already went through that rigmarole the first go around.
No, I think they would legitimately have murdered him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
If they could get their hands on him.
If they were at all competent, they would have murdered him.
But they're too busy getting hit by fallen bricks, hit by 100-pound cement bags, hit by enormous iron pipes.
Sticking their head in a toilet full of kerosene.
Yeah, after it's been set on fire. Falling down four stories because your rope catches on fire.
How you wouldn't smell the kerosene before you stick it. Like, it would be, like, pervasive.
Aaron, he was preoccupied. His head was on fire.
He would have exploded. I feel like the room would have had enough fumes in it. He would have... Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
I want to mention this one more time. He turns into a skeleton for a brief moment. It's like, you. How do you go back to being human after being skeleton?
I mean,
oh, he also,
like,
gets stapled in the nuts.
The first movie, he makes them slip on ice, and then he makes them step on ornaments. So it's like, there were a few, like, kill shots. Like,
he covers them in feathers.
Yeah, right. There were, like, he makes them go in a pool. Like, was that the first movie? Like, there was a lot of nonsense and, like, two or three, like, absolute kill shots, like with the paint buckets and then the
iron thing.
Yeah. But this movie was 100% kill shots, like zero silliness, just like all the pain.
Yeah. With a finale of, like, pigeons eating off of you, which was pretty tame compared to that other stuff, actually.
Yeah, it really was. They were just like the murder birds. It's like, no, they're
pigeons.
But
that's what drove them crazy.
Maybe because he was, like, literally hitting a pigeon earlier in the movie when they were at the ice rink. He was, like, hitting it. It's like, listen, as much as I wanted to do that sometimes in Korea because they were so annoying, I never would hit a wild animal, even if it's an annoying pigeon.
By the way, I didn't mention this. My favorite part of this whole movie was when they were at the ice rink and he was casually stealing from everyone that came by. That was that was pretty funny. Anyways, go ahead.
I mean, unless the wild animal was attacking me. But the pigeon was just sitting there.
Yeah. And then the movie lasts for another, like, 15 minutes or something.
Because they all get, they get, like, literally 200 presents in their room from the toy store.
Yeah, and they get
and they're all fighting over who's going to open them first and stuff.
And they get free sweets at the plaza for who knows how long. And then the dad's griping about his room service bill. It's like, I think you kind of came out on the better side either way. Like, obviously it could have been better without that bill. I don't know why they even charged them for that in the end,
considering they
comped they
didn't
them
charge them for the room.
Yeah, they comped them all the other stuff. But, like, I feel like they still made out better, considering, like, when he ran that credit card, it showed the price per night and it was like $355 a night for that hotel. And then they got him a better suite when it was the whole family. So.
So do you guys think that this one, like, I was totally expecting to like this one a lot better than the first one, just because I did when I was a kid. What do you guys think as far as, does this hold up? How does it compare to the first one? Should it still be a watchable Christmas movie?
I mean, it's watchable for sure. But it's like just hands down not as good as the first one.
Yeah, I think the reason why I liked this movie so much as a kid is, you know that when kids laugh hard at someone getting hurt in a movie? I think if you're a grown adult and you're watching this, it really loses a lot of impact.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes the first one seem worse in some ways. I don't know. Like, I really hate that. But it also makes the first one seem so much better in some ways.
There are parts of this movie that I do like a lot better. Like, just because it's in New York and, like, it's got that kind of, like, romantic nostalgia factor. Like, if you're kind of, like, you know, if you're someone who likes New York movies or likes the city and feels romantic about it, like, there are parts of this movie that I think are really cool and, like, really enjoyable to watch. I think it's a great TV movie where you don't have to, like, pay attention to everything all the time, but, like, it's a great one to have on around Christmas. It's still got the great John Williams music in it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, would I show it to a kid? Yes.
No.
This is the worst movie to show to a child.
Oh, really? You think?
They would be hurting each other.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Like, that's it. Like kids' movies and a lot of other movies that we watched when we were kids were so much more violent than stuff now. And I think that's because, like, we've realized we don't want these kids, like, beating each other up and, like, seeing that this is, like, an okay thing to do. Like, I would never show this to my kids until they were, like, I don't know. Even probably like teenagers, honestly.
They'd probably hate it by then, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this movie's
the first one, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
This might be the first time in VCR Kids history where me and Jay think, okay, this is not for kids, but Aaron thinks it's for kids. This might be the first time.
I just think they wouldn't be as bothered by all the plot annoyances, so I mean, like they would fine, enjoy it
but
more.
It's so violent, like so violent. Like, it's there's nothing about those, like, those quote unquote pranks that he pulls that are good natured at all. Like, they're intended to kill these people for that's no true. Reason. Like, he doesn't need to do any of this.
Yeah.
Like, to your point, he could have called the police. He could have just, like, run away. Like, he has the pictures. He could have just run away. But instead, he takes the entire night to try and end their lives.
He took the pictures. He could have just run to the police station immediately.
Right.
I didn't even think about that.
Wants to destroy them.
Right. Oh, see, this is what... Okay, yeah. Like, in the first one, they set it up where, like, he tries to solve the problem with adult help. They won't. He tries to solve it with adult help. They won't. Like, he tries to get help for it a number of times, and no one comes. Like, they'll miss it or, like, I don't know what. But, and then he ends up saying, like, this is my house. I have to defend it. But that wasn't his house. That was his uncle's random place that they weren't even at. That was
this
the other
is
thing.
My city that I'm visiting by accident. I have to defend it.
Right.
It is interesting.
Just so much better.
It's interesting how the only really redeeming people in this universe is, like, old outcast people and Macaulay Culkin. Those are the angels in this universe, and everyone else is at best neutral, like his parents.
His parents are chaotic neutral. Honestly, so chaotic.
Yeah, it's I really think that the first half is a great sequel, and I think the second half is not worth watching. But like I said, great for TV. I still love the music. I still love the New York nostalgia of it. Like, I'm glad that I watched it, but I'm probably not going to be watching it every Christmas.
Right. There is a wonderful shot. I think this is a real shot, like a helicopter shot, when he's on top of the World Trade Center. On the observation deck.
Oh, that always makes me sad.
Yeah. So that was a really nice shot.
It was, but it makes me sad.
All right. Well, on that note.
Sad.
I thought I would save my 9/11 comment till the very end.
Yeah, the very end. And going out on a 9/11 note.
never forget, we've got a few more weeks of Christmas movies to watch with you guys. Honestly, our tank is running a little dry on Christmas movies. So if you have one that we haven't done before that you want to watch, you want us to watch, please let us know on Twitter at the VCR Kids. Speaking of Twitter, listen to this. I just unpacked a box that I found in our guest room that's been filled with boxes, and there's like 50 probably pins, buttons in here from the VCR Kids. So if you want a free button, hit me up on Twitter and let me know your address and I'll send you one. And you can sport the VCR Kids buttons on your, you know, your bag or your jean jacket, or I don't know, where do you wear buttons, man?
That's for real. We do have a bag of like 50 buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, what he was shaking there was a bag of buttons. That was not a prop.
That was not a sound effect.
Yeah. So yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know. We'll come back at you with another Christmas movie next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
.com.